time. Open our minds and hearts. Prepare us for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye. I like that. Isn't it? I love hearing the sounds of young children. Isn't that wonderful? What a joy. All right. Well, guys, we're continuing in on the Acts of God through His Church series as we go through parts of the book of Acts, as really looking at what is the role of the church. What was it back in the book of Acts? What is it now for us here in Skyway, in the South Seattle area, in our areas around our homes, in the areas at our work? How do we live in a way that we are ambassadors for Christ in a way that shines the light on God in a way that brings glory to Him and blessing to those around us? And so, we've looked at just an amazing beginning to the church and the healing that took place of a man who was lame and the response and kind of how things kind of have been, this snowball has been rolling down the hill and building steam of when the disciples healed the man who was lame and who had been lame all his life and had been at the gates of the beautiful gates and over and over for year after year after year. And after he is healed and all the people know him and have seen his healing and don't know how to process what's been done. And we've seen the response that's been positive at first. We've seen a negative response. And now we get to see something kind of interesting because I love preaching on the love of Christ, the grace of God, the mercy of God. You know what I don't always like preaching on as much, just initially as I'm thinking about preparing? Is the truth, the holiness, the confrontational, the jealous side of God. The truth that God deals with sin, and He deals with it justly. That's a harder message to talk about. It's a harder angle to come at the truth from. But it's just as important part and piece of the gospel of Christ. And it's important for us to know not only is God loving, but He's also holy, and He is just, and He does hate sin, and He deals with it in our lives, and he walks with us when we are struggling with it. When the things of this world come at the church, He wants the church to be willing to stand as He stood against unrighteousness. And guys, we are living more and more in a community, in a world where wrong is right and right is wrong. And I've just had a number of personal conversations with people this week and over the last couple weeks where it's just been extremely clear that when you stand for Christ, there's a cost. When you confront sin, when you come up and confront sin, God will bless, and the enemy will get seriously annoyed and busy. He does not, the enemy to God, does not give up ground without a fight. And whether it's personal in our lives or as a community that we're affecting as a church, we got to realize we're coming against an enemy who is ruthless, but who is defanged and defeated in what Christ has already done. But He can bring the lies to get us out of the truth of what we experience as believers. So let's jump into it. We're going into Acts 5, starting at verse 12, and let's hop in it. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. I love that. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. They're what? They're unified. They're coming together. And it says, no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. They're magnified. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number daily. They're multiplied. They're unified, magnified, multiplied. And I love this. This is the first time it mentions here women. This is the first time Luke mentions that women are coming to the faith. And this is unique too, because in that culture of that day, that would not be reported. They did not have the same, they were not considered equal value back in that day. And it would be very unusual to mention them. And this is not the first, the only time that Luke will talk about prominent women of faith. But guys, men and women and children are coming to God. Families are being transformed. And beautiful things are happening. The church is unified, magnified, and multiplied. And Satan wants to divide the church and disgrace the church and decrease the church. And he will do it if we let him. That's his goal. That's his role. But the church described here triumphed over the attacks of Satan. And we're going to see how. Verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick. As a result of this unification, magnification, multiplication, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the bed, on beds and mat, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as they passed by. What happens in a church when God moves? There's also things like superstition. It doesn't say that they were healed as his shadow passed over them. It says that they wanted their people to be, have his. Is it Peter who heals? Is it the apostles who heal? Is it? No. It's not. Is it? It's God, it's Christ. And so, you know, even as these wonderful things are happening, you can see people try and take it further than God takes it. People want to go. We're so quick to want the blessings. And in a sense, we're willing to manufacture some things, aren't we? We've got to be so careful that we as the church never present the gospel that Jesus did not present. You know, one of the things that so hurts my heart as I see what the church, some churches have done with the gospel is they've made it about getting wealthy. Hey, do you want to be successful? Come to Jesus. He wants you to have the desires of your heart. Whatever you wish, whatever you want, whatever you hope for, he'll give it to you. The prosperity gospel. Guys, which one of the disciples experienced the prosperity gospel?
The 14th one.
The 14th one. I like that. There's a cost to following Christ. And the blessings are immense. Don't get me wrong. There are incredible blessings. Spiritual, physical, emotional, relational blessings. But God is not B5, B3. He's not a candy machine that we put our requests in and we order God to do what we want. He's not a God who's given us a home that is our eternal home on this earth. He's a God who says, I am preparing a place for you. You know how rich we are? We are going to have a place that is perfect with him for eternity. That's how rich we are. Where no moth and no rust can destroy. That's how blessed we are. Eternally blessed. Because at most, I mean, the average person lives what? Around 80, 90 years? Some people hit 120. I think it's... I know this is dangerous ground I'm treading upon right now. But we all eventually will be either in Christ's presence for eternity or outside of Christ's presence for eternity. And so I want to encourage us, look for the blessings that are eternal. There's many other blessings, and some of them are physical. But don't allow the superstition, don't allow the things of this earth to crowd into the church, to crowd into the gospel, and to become our heart's desire. This world is not our home. And our desires should not be for the things of this world. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And some of them were healed, or what? All of them were healed. You see, something's happening here, and it's the power of God. It's not the power of the apostles. It's not the power of the Christians. It's the power of God. And when God chooses to move in His way and His time, remember, this is the starting of the new church, and one of the things we see at New Beginnings is an increase in the work of the of what God does to bring attention to it. And so there's all kinds of miracles. And the apostles are the people are saying these, the apostles are speaking the truth about Jesus Christ. And the church is starting on a strong thing. And what happens from then? And that is, when there is power and the people experience the power, guess what happens? People will also experience freedom. Because there's four things that are present when the church responds to a crisis. Power, the power of God to intervene, to move, to do something powerful. Another thing that happens is freedom. God gives freedom in the midst of what is going on around us. Verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with what? Jealousy. Why are they jealous? Well, here's these untrained guys, and all, they've got this following of thousands of people just like that. And they're together and they're following him. And now these guys are healing. And it's not just every blue moon. They're just bringing everybody to them. We're going to lose our authority. We're going to lose our power. We're going to lose our financial strength. Our ability to be in charge, to direct the people, to be in command. They were filled with jealousy. Verse 18, they arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. What do you do when you're scared? You hit. You strike. When people don't know what to do, they often get physical. They often go to extremes. They often respond in a way of trying to put the other person down. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, I love this, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said. That's the angel of the Lord. And tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. You see, the people who meant evil, the people who mean evil to us, all these things, they can imprison us, just like they imprisoned the disciples here. But as they imprison us, they can't take away freedom. We can be, as believers, we can be held physically, but still be free in Christ. We see it over and over in countries where they're not free to worship God. And yet in secret, they experience the blessing and the unity and the multiplying of God, even in these churches that are hiding, because if the authorities from the countries knew that they were meeting together, they would have them killed or imprisoned. It's happening today in many countries in our world today. There are many countries where you are not free to worship. And if you worship Jesus Christ, there are consequences that are going to happen, and they are severe. Because of jealousy, the religious leaders arrested the apostles and put them in jail. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I love that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That means no matter what you do to me, I can be free in Christ. No matter what you're going through in your homes, in your places of work, and in life in general, you can be free in Christ. Free to be whole mentally and emotionally. free to be God's child. Guys, there's times when Christians may not live physically free, but the spirit can still soar. And we are called to soar. Near the end of his life, Paul wrote from a Roman prison, God's word is not chained. I love that. 2 Timothy 2:9. God's word is not. He was chained. He was in prison. But he writes, God's word is not changed. And through the truth of his word, we can experience that freedom. The spirit of the Lord brings freedom to all. Is there any area in your life where the enemy is trying to imprison you, put you into bondage to him? Is there any area where the enemy has lied, you've believed that lie, and he's gotten a foothold or a stronghold in your life? It happens to us as Christians, doesn't it? We all go through it, and we all experience it in different areas in our lives where maybe we compromise a little bit, and then we don't even process what's happening to us in the spiritual battle. And now we compromise a little bit more, and the foothold eventually becomes a stronghold. But God has called us to be free. What area do you want to experience more freedom in? Guess what? God wants that for you. He's provided a way for that to take place. He's given you, and through relationship with him, the power to experience it. Let's continue on. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. I love this. So they still think they're in charge. They still think that they're in prison, that they get to be the ones that so we'll send for them. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. I love that. When the angel of the Lord moves, he moves in power. He moves in freedom. And when he moves in freedom, he works in ways that we don't understand and can't fully define. Guys, when you follow Christ, things will happen in your life, and you'll look back and you'll say, what? Because you can't define it. You can't fully. Have you ever had something happen and somebody asks you about it, and you can't fully communicate the power of what just took place? You use words and they're not enough. They're not enough because you saw God move when there was no possible way through. And he opened doors and he did things that only he could do in his time and place. I love that. We found no one inside. Verse 24, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. We're kind of seeing a pattern here, aren't we? Don't do it. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. They preach in the name. Put them in jail. They're out. How'd they get out? Don't do it. At that, the captain went to his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force. Why? Because they feared that the people would stone them. I love this. Who's being put in prison? Who's being led around? Who's being told what to do? Who's not being allowed to do what they want to do? And yet, who's in fear? You see, one of the lies of the enemy is that if you follow him, the fear will be gone. If we follow down the wrong path, our fear will grow. Because why? Because we're living to try and please man. And man's understanding of what's right and wrong is always changing. Man's truth, man's morality is always changing. Guys, think about what's talked about on the news and what's reported and what we just see around us. The very things that 20 years ago, it was clear, this is right, this is wrong. Now, we're doing things like, in a botched abortion, and I don't believe that this is political. You guys know I don't like to get politics into the message very much. I don't believe this is political when it deals with life and what God's word says about life. But we're living in a country now where different states have passed that if abortion goes wrong and the baby lives, we're trying to pass more and more laws, and we've already passed some laws that say, let the child die. Just don't attend to it until it dies. Guys, that's sick. It's not biblical. We are created in the image of God. And our understanding of what is right and what is wrong needs to come from the Word of God. Not from Republicans, not from Democrats, not from independents, from God's Word. We've got to be willing to say my decision of how I move forward, of what I understand to be right and wrong, comes from the Word of God. And so this is what I use. This is what I use to stand on truth. And nothing else. Nothing else takes priority over the Word of God. And that's where we as people are unified. Why? Because we all have different experiences, different understandings, different political beliefs, different emotions, different ways of thinking about the world. But when we come together under Christ, we're united, we're one. And we humble ourselves, not to your ideas or my ideas. My ideas are no better than yours. They're worth no more. But God's word is true. God's word is true. And they did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The religious leaders of the Sanhedrin thought they had silenced the apostles. They thought they had dealt with this. But the jailers reported that the jail was empty and the apostles went back to the temple to share in preaching. They went back to do what honored God. Guys, when we're dealing with something as a church, what do? We go back to the basics of honoring God. We go back to the truth of His Word. We go back to understanding what His Word says and following it. It's simple. When I was a coach for basketball, for high school basketball, you'd have times where your players would be playing just on all cylinders, would be firing, and just, man, everything was, it was like the ball was about half size and the kids could do anything they wanted with it. And then you'd have other times where it was like somebody put a covering over the hoop, and no matter how good and well they shot, it somehow rolled out, it somehow missed, it somehow, man. You'd have times where in a game for a period, you'd have a span for 3-5 minutes where it wouldn't work. Call a timeout. Go back to the basics. What do we need to do? Well, if the shot's not going in, don't take the three-point shot. Let's get some lay-ins going in. Let's get some easiest buckets possible. See if we can start things moving again. In practices, in between games, what would you do? You'd go back to the basics. Passing. Shooting. Moving the ball around. Defense. In the Christian life, we've got to go back to the basics of what really is important in this world, in our lives. Go back to God's Word. Go back to fellowship in Christ. Be together. Be unified. Be magnified. Be multiplied. We need to be willing. And guys, I love it. The apostles, they go back. They go back to teaching, and they have no fear. The ones who are in charge are fearful, and the ones who are being told what to do have no fear. They're free. They're free from fear. Instead of the officials feared the apostles and the people, those who were in charge. Not only did they fear the people, they feared the apostles. They feared what might happen to them if they were mean to them in public. So we've got power, the power of God. We've got the freedom of God, and
And then the third is the struggle that the church experiences when it responds to a crisis is the opposition. Opposition. It says in verse 27, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. They're just bringing them back and forth, aren't they? What do you do with somebody who won't listen? We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. That's a good place to stand, isn't it? We've got the audience of one as Christians. We don't need to worry about pleasing man. We get to please God. And the things in our lives that don't please God, we know what they are. We know what they are. If we're in the Word, we know what they are. If we're in fellowship, we know what they are. We must obey God rather than human beings. Verse 30, the God of your ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things. We're witnesses. We were with Jesus. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Verse 33, when they heard this, they were humbled and released them. No, it says they were furious. How hard does the heart need to be when you hear the truth of God? You're furious. They were furious and wanted to put them to death. Guys, when we honor God, there is going to be opposition. We must expect it. We've got an enemy who's all about it. We've got people who are being used by the enemy. But our struggle is not against who? The flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against people, but it's against the principalities. It's about against the dark forces of this world. That's who our struggle is with. So when you've got somebody coming at you, remember, that's not your enemy. It's hard to remember in the moment, isn't it? We're called to what our enemies? Love our enemies. Pray for our enemies. Die for our enemies. You know, we've got to be willing to get involved, though. We've got to be willing to get our hands dirty. We've got to be willing to suffer. I always told my kids and my boys, it's wonderful to have my son Thomas back. He's back for a week, and we've all got all but one now at home. It feels really nice right now. But one of the things I'd tell my boys is, listen, you need to be willing to get involved. You need to be willing to stand in the gap for those who can't stand for themselves. You don't start a fight, but if somebody's being mistreated, you need to get involved. And you know what? If something happens at school and you stand for somebody else and you get in trouble, I'll wrap my arm around you and I'll walk you out and I'll tell you I'm proud of you. Now, we'll have a different conversation if you start something. But if you stand for what's right, if you're willing to get involved and protect those who can't protect themselves, praise God. Praise God. Guys, we need to be willing to get involved, even though there's going to be great consequence at times. All the apostles did was what? Speak truth. They honored God, followed him, and spoke truth. And that's why there's such hatred towards them. And in a world that is about evil and is about making truth lies and lies truth, if we speak truth, there's going to be consequences for us. Verse 30, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, it said, remember, whom you killed by hanging on a cross. Speaking truth right to the people. Who are these people? How did the Sanhedrin leader, they're the Sanhedrin leaders, and how did they respond with this unreasoning? They responded with unreasoning rage. They wanted to put them to death. The truth is hard to hear for those who have hard hearts. So encouragement to us, let's not have hard hearts. To the truth will set us free. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
Guys, if we don't grasp the true nature of warfare, we will keep being confused with the struggles of this life. If we don't understand that this world is not our home and that we are living for something different, something better, something in the future, we'll be confused when the challenges come to our door. If we think that being a Christian means that all the problems go away and life is a fairy tale, we'll be undone when the challenges come.
What good is it to smash the puppet, to come at somebody else, when the real enemy, the satanic puppet master, is there pulling the strings? We don't come at the people. We pray and we go against the one who is misleading the people. Only spiritual weapons have power against a spiritual enemy. Guys, did you hear that? The weapons we fight with are not these. They're not these. It's not fist. It's not against. The weapons we fight with, hands together, prayer, God's word, God's truth, being in his presence. The spiritual battle is just that, it's spiritual, and we need to be willing to fight it with the weapons that he's given us to fight with. And to already experience, to experience the victory that we already have. Because he's already defeated sin. But the Pharisee named Gamaliel, I love this because this illustrates the idea that the weapons that we have, the only ones that are applicable are those that are spiritual. This is given us as to an example in the next set of scriptures. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and the followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them.
God uses even a man who's not of faith, who's not one of them, who's trying to do not what's best for them, but what's best for those in charge, to keep their power, to keep their authority. He's got some reason, though. And God will use many different avenues and many different people to bless believers when they're standing on truth.
Sometimes he even uses the enemies of God. These religious leaders are the same men who conspired to murder Jesus, and the apostles knew it. It's the same group of guys. The apostles knew their lives were in jeopardy, but God had a plan for delivering the disciples. I love that. God has a plan for us, just like he had a plan for them. And God had a man on the council who could reason with the Sanhedrin, the teacher Gamaliel. Satan uses people as puppets to do his bidding, but God uses Satan's puppets to frustrate Satan's plans. God will use even those that the enemy is trying to use for his purpose. We got to keep moving here. Whew. All right. In closing, the fourth struggle to the church that it experiences when it responds to a crisis is suffering. Because here, the apostles, they stood up. They did what was right. God uses somebody to speak in truth. Their lives are spared. But it's not that they're spared from suffering. says in the next verse, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. It's beaten. Had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They did it again. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, love this, rejoicing. Guys, think about that. They've just been brutally beaten. And they leave what? Rejoicing. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, I love this, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
Guys, think about that. They never stop. Let's beat them. Let's really make it hurt. What is up with these guys? They keep going in and they keep preaching the gospel. See, when you're transformed from the inside, when you've been born again, that's who you are. You can't stop being who you are. You're now a child of God and you want others to experience that blessing. And you are willing to suffer for others to be blessed the way you've been blessed.
Even though Gamaliel urged the members of the Sanhedrin not to kill the apostles, there was suffering that had to take place. They had them flogged in order not to speak. And guys, we will suffer if we honor God. I promise you, you will suffer. And the response to suffering should be what? Rejoicing. Rejoicing, not bitterness. It's so tough. Your exact real life. Oh, that sounds nice, Pastor. No, that's really hard. Why? Because the flesh is weak. So we can't operate in the flesh because it's really tough and we will fail. I will fail every time if I try and operate in the flesh. Every time. But if I operate in the Spirit of God, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.
Some Christians believe that God promises them prosperity. He promises them so much more than prosperity. Guys, don't shoot for the things of this world. Those are lies. Those are empty. Don't be satisfied with the crumbs off the table that will pass away. Don't be satisfied with the little things of this world. Only be satisfied with the eternal things of God.
1 Peter 4:12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you."
I love that. Don't think it's strange when you go under the heat. That's where we as believers belong, because we stand for truth in a world that is unaccepting of truth. And we don't bring it in the flesh, and we don't bring it with the weapons of this world. We bring it in the love and truth of Christ. And when we are hit against, we pray for our enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Don't harm them. Once again, don't be in the flesh. Don't be in the flesh. And don't consider it weird for suffering, for honoring God, because we have a God who suffers, who suffered to give us life, eternal life.
Guys, the four areas of struggle that the church experiences: power to change lives and make broken people whole. Freedom, the word of God is not bound and we are free in Christ. Opposition will come and truth brings resistance. The enemy of God will not give up ground without a fight. And then suffering. Do not be surprised to suffer for Christ. We follow a suffering Savior and he knows what we are going through. So find your wholeness in Jesus. Find your wholeness in Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love and your grace and your understanding. Father, thank you for your holiness. Thank you that we don't stand in self-righteousness. We stand in your righteousness.
We have right standing because of what you've done on our behalf, not on anything we do ourselves. So, Father, I just pray for freedom for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I pray for wholeness. I pray for your power, your freedom, the ability to honor you in the midst of opposition, and Lord, a willingness to be able to suffer well, to bring honor and glory to you by the way that we suffer. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power to overcome evil. Lord, we love you. Make us a blessing to others in our lives. May they see not us, may they see you. More of you and less of us. Lord, may we operate in the spirit and not in the flesh. May we confuse people who are our enemies when we offer them love and truth. May they see you and be undone and be humbled and turn to you. Bless us to make us a blessing to many. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.